Well, good morning. I know at least two of you are chuckling because, hey, at least this podium's up here this morning. Remembering Ken and Jennifer running it up to me last week. Thanks for your thoughts and prayers this week. I do appreciate them. My grandma had a good passing, and we were there with her. Able to sing some hymns, as she loved music. Able to quote some verses and say some prayers. But in the end, we are rejoicing as we know that she is rejoicing right now in the presence of God. And you can't ask for more than that. So thank you. We've been in this mini-series, A Heart for Missions. Talking about what missions is and then what does it mean to have a heart for missions. So a couple weeks ago, we began this and we began with saying missions, this common term that we use to talk about God's work in the world. And what do we mean by it? What do we mean when we have a missions ministry? What are we talking about when we go on missions trips? And so we spent some time talking about missions and getting down to a very basic understanding of it is simply coming from the Latin missio, to send, the idea that people are sent by God to certain groups of people to do what? To reveal God to them. And so on a very simple level, when we talk about missions, this is what we mean. The sending of people to a certain group of people simply to tell them about God. Now, this is what we're talking about when we're talking about missions. And then when we think of it this way, then we realize that God is the source of missions. A mission sort of started with him as the Father sent the Son. And as the Son was willing to be sent to this earth to do what? To reveal truth about God to us. And then as then the Spirit was sent by the Father and the Son to this world in order to reveal God to us. Now, this is what we mean when we're talking about missions. It's really God's work. It's God who's doing this sending. And that God is also sort of the object of missions as well. That when we go to people, what we're doing is we're revealing God to them. And so God has a heart for missions. He began this process And so it's awesome then that he allows us to participate in it at all. That he then extends that call for missions to us, that he says, look, as Jesus was on this earth and said, look, just as the Father sent me to you, I'm sending you to everyone else. That when we participate in missions, we're simply involving ourselves in an act that God himself is active in doing around this world. And then we said, okay, so that's what missions is. And what does it mean to have a heart for missions? How do you know if someone has a heart for missions? What does it look like? But if you're going to have a heart for missions, what should I see? We said, well, the first thing that you should see in someone who has a heart for missions is you should see prayer. And we looked at so many passages in Paul's letters. Paul, this great missionary going around the world telling people about Jesus and the work he's done. And Paul himself repeatedly saying, pray for us, and pray for us, pray for this, pray for that, right? Pray for us. Struggle alongside of us. How by praying for us? Help us in our ministry. How by praying for us? And so last week we said that the way that every single one of us can be involved in missions, and the way that every one of us can show that we have a heart for missions is by praying. And that there are five specific ways we can always pray for missionaries. That no matter what the circumstances, we can always pray for open doors, for opportunities. You can pray for clarity of speech and for boldness when they're faced with an opportunity. And then you can always pray for their safety, right? As many of them are in dangerous or difficult situations. And then finally pray that the word of God may advance, that as they preach the good news, that people would accept it and pass it on. But this was the first way that every one of us can show that we have a heart for missions. It's if you have a heart, if you have a passion for missions, then you have to be involved in prayer. Because this is the way that we can involve ourselves directly in the ministry that our missionaries are doing. Because in the end, it's not a physical battle that they fight. It's a spiritual one. And we can get in on this fight by spiritually engaging in prayer with our missionaries. So that's the first way that we can be a part of missions, that we can show our heart for missions, because first and foremost, a heart for missions leads you to prayer. Now we move on to the second thing that a heart for missions leads you to do. If you believe you have a heart for missions, if you want to ask yourself, do I have a heart for missions, you can actually answer that question by asking yourself another question, and your answers to the questions will be the same. If you ask yourself, do I have a heart for missions, you could also simply ask yourself this question, do I give to missions? Because we'll find very quickly that the answer to these two questions will always line up, because a heart for missions leads you to give. A heart for missions leads you first to pray, but second, to give. If you have a heart for missions, you will give. And there's a very clear, simple connection between your heart and your wallet. It's just true. I don't know if you've never encountered this idea, you should take 5 minutes after service just to think about this in all areas of life. That there's a very direct relationship between the things that you care about and where your money goes. It's just true. As you think about, where do I spend my money? Even if you think, well, I'm really passionate about this thing, and yet you're unwilling to spend money on it, this just in, you're not truly passionate about it. Your money goes where your heart goes, and your heart goes where your money is. After all, we trace this idea straight back to Jesus himself. Right? Matthew 6:21, in the middle of his Sermon on the Mount, that famous passage we all know, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. Why? For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And frankly, I think the inverse of it is true. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. But you want to show that you have a heart for missions, send money that way. In some ways it really is that simple. Even if you say, well, I want to have a heart for missions, but I don't quite yet, start sending money that way. And it's just true that where your treasure is, there your heart will follow. And it's a very base idea. When we talk about having a heart for anything, your money should probably line up with that. If you have a heart for missions, then it will lead you to give. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And frankly, where your heart is, that's the way you send money. So a heart for missions will lead you to give. So if you want to know, do I have a heart for missions? Then the answer there will be the same as the answer to this question, do I give to missions? If it's yes, then it's yes, and if it's no, then it's no. Yes to both or no to both. And if you say, but I think I really do have a heart for missions, but I'm not giving, I'm going to question you. I really am. So a heart for missions leads you to give. Why? Because in a very simple, real principle in life, where your passions and your desires lie, your money follows. And where your money goes, your heart naturally tends to follow that direction too, whether or not you want it to. But of course, that isn't the only verse in Scripture that leads us to give to missionaries. In fact, that's simply a general principle of life that you should consider. But it's true that a heart for missions will lead you to give, because where your treasure is, there your heart is. But let's consider another passage. Let's consider, of course, another passage from Paul. For if we're talking about missions, we're always looking at Paul or Jesus. And let's look at a great example of giving. We're going to see an incredible example of giving, which is also going to be tied to a reason to give. So turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Here we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and it would seem, if we take sort of a big picture view of this, that part of this, the goal of these verses here is for Paul to encourage the church of Corinth, right, the Corinthians, to encourage the church of Corinth to give, to continue in their act of giving, or for some of them to start in their act of giving, to be a part of ministry specifically by giving. And so in encouraging the Corinthians to give, he's going to give them an example of giving. Then say, hey, I'm going to tell you about these people who are incredible givers, and then he's going to give them a reason to give. And I want to say, that both of these things still wholly apply to us today. Here, for us, as we think about giving, here is an incredible example of giving that Paul shares with us, followed by a reason to give. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll begin in verse 1. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. So Paul says, hey, I'm going to tell you about the grace of God that we're seeing, this act of grace, which is kind of Paul's term for giving in this passage. I'm going to tell you about this act of grace that's given by the churches in Macedonia. Right? Macedonia is an entire area, a region. The churches of Philippi, the church of Thessalonica would have fallen into this area of Macedonia. So he says, I want to tell you, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed. Okay, so let's just stop there. So he's telling us it's in a severe time of affliction. They're going through a severe time of affliction, but they have a lot of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in, and what would you expect? They've overflowed in prayers. I mean, extreme poverty, so they've overflowed in giving and singing and worship. No. In a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord. So he says, look, here's this group who's going through a trial. Right? Money can probably help a lot in trials. Going through an extreme time of affliction. And they're very poor. And yet, they're giving not only according to their means, as he can testify, but beyond their means. He says, my goodness, look at the churches in Macedonia. They're going through trials. And yet, they're giving according to their means and past. Even in the midst of difficulty, and I think this is the great example. You say, it's so easy. It's even easier in times of joy, when things are going well, when there's no trial. It's times like that when we should say, yeah, take my money. Let me give, because praise the Lord, things are going well. Paul says, hey, the churches in Macedonia are going through a severe time of affliction, right? Persecution. And yet, they're joyfully giving way more than they can even afford to give. Giving according to their means and beyond their means of their own accord. Verse 4, and here's their attitude about it. Begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. They're begging us to allow them to give more so that they can relieve the saints around the world who are in need, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. He says they gave first to the Lord, to the Lord's work. Most likely they're to the church. Right? They gave first to the Lord and then specifically to us. To us as missionaries. And what are they giving for? The relief of the saints. They're giving us money to take care of us and for us to go around and take care of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. This act of grace. So, but Paul says, look, O church in Corinth, look, you Corinthians. Look at this church in Macedonia, people who are going through extreme affliction. They're so poor, they have extreme poverty, severe affliction, and yet they're giving. Not only are they giving as much as they can, they're giving more than they should be able to. And look at the attitude they're doing with. They're just begging us, please, let us give more. Right? This is such an incredible example of generosity, of giving. Of giving to the Lord and of giving to the missionaries. And they say, please, just show us another opportunity where we can give. We're begging for it. We're begging for the favor, right? The favor. That it is truly a favor to be able to relieve saints around the world who are in need. And so then at the end of this, in verse 6, he says, accordingly, we urge Titus, right? Titus, who seems to be among the Corinthians there, we urged him that he might complete this work in you. So Paul's saying, we know that you've started to sort of encourage the Corinthians to give and to collect from them so that they too might support others around the world. And we know, when we think of the city of Corinth and the church of Corinth, that it was probably very wealthy. The city of Corinth was a booming metropolis of wealth, right? And so it was probably a very rich, wealthy location. And it seems they're not even giving yet. Or at least they've maybe started to, but they need to complete this act of grace. And so Paul says, you need to look to churches that are far poorer than you, to people who are there begging for a chance to give. So here's this great example of giving, and now in verses 7 and 8 and maybe a little bit of 9, he's going to say, this is why. Here was your example. Now let's talk about your reason for giving. And really, he gives two reasons. Reason number one is this: but as you excel in everything, look, you excel, O Corinthians, in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and all earnestness and in our love for you. See that you excel in this act of grace also. He says, look, it doesn't match up that you excel in all these other areas, that you're loving, that you care for people, that you serve people. It doesn't make sense that you're full of faith and knowledge, but you don't also give exceedingly. So bring that up to the levels of the rest of your belief and faith and abilities and giftings. And now he says, I say this not as a command. Here's your reason number one. I say this not as a command. Look, don't do it because I'm telling you to, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. He says, look, the first reason why you give is because it's simply proof that your love is genuine. Love, heart, right? That's normally where we think of the sort of the center of love. It's in your heart. You want to prove that you really have a genuine love for the Lord, for His work, for missions, then give. Because giving proves that your love also is genuine. You want to prove that you love the Lord, then start giving. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So reason number one, he says, is first reason why you should be giving is that it proves that you have genuine love for the Lord. But reason number two is an even better reason, frankly. Okay, so giving proves that you love the Lord. Let's talk about the far more important reason. Reason number two is this: for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, by His poverty, might become rich. He says, look, you want the real reason why you give? Because that's how you imitate our Lord Jesus Christ. Right, who though He was rich, abundantly rich, was rich in that He had everything. He's in the eternal dwelling place with God. Right, He's in God's presence, rich, and yet He Himself gave up His riches, gave up his fellowship with the Father and the Spirit themselves, gave up the heavenly realms themselves, and became poor, taking on the form of a servant, taking on this human form. Why? He gave up His riches and became poor so that we might, from our poverty, become rich. So that we might become rich in a way that we could never fathom, that we might become eternally rich in heaven with Him, that we might become rich in this life as we can suddenly, right? We can suddenly defeat sin, not of our own doing, but by the work of Jesus. Jesus Himself is the greatest example of giving up all the riches that we could ever imagine and becoming poor so that others might become rich. And He says, this is why you should give. Because Jesus Himself gave in order to become poor so that others might be rich. And so why in the world would you not give? You are rich. You are rich in so many ways, and give and become poor so that others might be enriched, because that's just what Jesus did for you. And out of gratitude and admiration and out of love for Jesus, you should give then. But frankly, just to imitate the Lord and Savior who did the same thing for you, why wouldn't you do that for others? Because a heart for missions leads you to give. Why? Because where your heart is, there your treasure is. And where your treasure is, there your heart is. There's a long, long connection between your heart and your wallet. And then look at this example, this beautiful example of the Macedonian churches. You say, it doesn't matter that we're going through trials. It doesn't matter that things aren't going well for us. Please, just give us another opportunity to give. We'll give past what we can. And we'll do it with a spirit that says, please, just give me another opportunity to give. Because Jesus himself, though rich, became poor, that we might become rich. So why wouldn't we, out of our incredible riches, give to those who are poor, that they might become rich? And of course, this is the show. This proves that our love for Christ is genuine, because if you have a heart for the Lord, if you have a heart for missions, then you'll give. So that's the what, and really it's the why. Then let's talk about how. How can you give to missions and missionaries? Well, there's a couple very simple ways. One, you can give to this church. Now, you can give to this church because you know, you've seen our budget, right? We don't hide these things from you. You know that this church gives a good portion of our budget, comparatively speaking. We give a good portion of our budget to missionaries to support them. So a very simple way, you can support missionaries and you can have a heart for missions and give to missions just by giving to this church. If you don't give to Grace, then I'd encourage you to do it. Right? But people in ministry often avoid having this conversation because we don't want to feel like we're up here saying, hey, give to us, give, give, give. But to do so is a ridiculous ignorance of what God has called us to do. So I will stand here and say, give to this church. Why? Because God commands it. Why? Because it's an act of love. Why? Because Jesus became poor that we might become rich, and so we give back. So give. Give like the Macedonians did. Give first to the Lord. And you can do that by giving here. And you know that we're supporting missionaries, and I love that we're getting to hear each Sunday in the series about the work that our missionaries are doing. So you know what you're giving to as well, which is awesome. But it's one thing to give to the church, and I'd encourage you to do that. This is awesome. However, I'd love for you to find ways to give to missionaries above and beyond what you give to this church. I'd love for you to be like the church, the churches in Macedonia, who if someone came to us a year's time from now, I'd say, yeah, they give to their means, but they were begging us for opportunities to give. I mean, they were so joyful and abundant in their giving not just to their means, but past, beyond what they really could have afforded to give. And they did it with such joy, right? It's not like they were reluctantly, you know, turning their head away as they put money in a box. I mean, there was just this begging spirit that says, yes, give me the favor, give me the joy, give me the spiritual blessing of getting to give to others. So I'd encourage you to find other ways to give to missionaries above and beyond. Right? You can give above and beyond financially. Get a tax refund, a bonus, something like that. Consider sending that to a missionary as a one-time gift. Right, just say, hey, whatever you need right now, spin it towards that. And you can find so many other ways that you can give too, even if it's not financially. There are ways, even if you don't just want to write a check, you say, I want to do something more tangible. There are ways to give to our missionaries. They would have other specific needs. Right? With Haiti Lifeline, often when they're about to go on a trip, we have a list of some supplies and things that we need that you can help with. Or consider Young Lives here in town. There are so many ways to give, not even just financially, but physically. You can give of your time to come here and help with a meal or to clean up afterwards, right? This is giving. You can give of your time to come watch kiddos while the Young Lives are doing something. Or, frankly, I'm sure that if you reached out to Deb and said, hey, I've got a Saturday free. I'd love to give some time and service to help one of the young, is there anything I could do? I bet she could find something for you. It's Deb. She can always find something for you to do. Right, but this is what it means to have a heart for missions. That you don't even just wait for us to stand up here and tell you where you can give. Right, think about the Macedonians begging us for the favor of giving to the relief of the saints around the world. Right, they're out there looking for opportunities, and you don't have to look far today. You can literally get on the internet and do a 2-minute search and have a list of 1,000 organizations you could give to. Right, but I'd love for you to be part of giving to the missionaries that are here as part of this church. Because this is a work that you can get involved with, that you can get involved in long term, that you can see the growth, that you can be connected to. And so I would love for this church, for Grace Bible Church, to have the reputation of being a giving church. Why? Because Jesus gave it all up to come here. He took on the form of a servant. He gave up the riches that we can't even fathom right now, but that we'll know someday when we join him in eternity. But he gave all that up so that he could come here and do what? Die on the cross for a bunch of thankless sinners. And yet he did that so that we might become rich. Rich in eternity. Rich in joy. Rich in hope. Now, you want to understand hope, then spend a week by a bedside in the hospital knowing that someone's going to pass on. And yet, how in the world can you do that having hope? Only because of what Jesus came and did for us. We have hope that we're going to experience riches beyond our imagination one day. And so why wouldn't we give now? Give according to your means, but give beyond. Give because the Lord Jesus Christ gave first. Give because a heart for missions leads you to give. As we've been doing in this series, we're going to go ahead and hear from a couple more of our missionaries. Well, we're going to hear from missionaries advocates and from missionary family members. And a little bit from videos, the greatness of technology to tell us what's going on around the world with these missionaries. And as we hear, I want you to remember that we're not simply doing this just to let this information roll off our shoulders. We're doing this because we want to have a heart for missions as a church. And part of that is simply knowing what's going on with our missionaries. It'll help you know what to pray for, as I hope that you will continue to pray for them. And it'll help you to know what you're giving towards as you begin to, or hopefully continue, to give to the missionaries that this church supports. So I'm going to invite Bill Isley up here to tell us about the McGirts and Trans World Radio. Come on up, Bill.